Welcome to the College Football Bros. I'm Michael Newman.
I'm Ryan Newman.
And I'm Trey Newman.
So we covered Clemson on Sunday, Florida State on Monday, and yesterday we covered North Carolina and Miami. Check those out if you haven't already. But Trey, what is question number 18 of our preview series?
Yeah, who is the most intriguing dark horse in the ACC?
All right.
Okay. Who's first, Ryan?
First one we got is the BC Eagles, Boston College. And this is actually my most intriguing one. Like, okay. I'm picking them as I think they could be the true dark horse of the conference. And this, to me, mainly goes through Phil Dracovic, the quarterback, the former Notre Dame transfer. He really impressed me going into that year. I mean, because he came on a little bit of a short notice, but I just thought that what he did and immediately turned them into a pretty darn solid team. He gets his entire offensive line back, and it's a strong offensive line, and his all of his big play receivers, Zay Flowers, Jalen Gill, CJ Lewis, each of those guys averaged over 15 yards per catch, which is pretty darn good for three main wide receivers. He does lose his tight end, Hunter Long, who was a very good tight end, but still think that offense is going to be really good. 9 starters back on D. That defense got a lot better in Jeff Hafley's first year. I think BC could be pretty darn good.
Yeah, I agree. And I think you'll see the running game on offense improve as well, because it was, of course, a new offense last year, new blocking scheme. So another full offseason with that coaching staff should help. And by the way, we're talking dark horses here. BC, of course, in the Atlantic with Clemson. So these dark horses don't necessarily have to be dark horses to win the ACC. Maybe, but also maybe just to be a surprise top 20 type team, something like that. So, yeah. All right, who's our next dark horse? Right.
Next, we got Wake Forest. And I'm not going to pick Wake as my top dark horse, but their games will be fun to watch and very entertaining. We know the offense can be pretty good with Sam Hartman. They did have momentary lapses, though, with him, but they returned pretty much everyone. And they just need the quote-unquote good Sam Hartman, because he, like, in against North Carolina, one of their tougher games, he just shredded them. And there was a period through 7 games he hadn't thrown an interception, but then he threw 5 picks in his last couple, and he was under 50%. So they need that kind of first half Sam Hartman, but if he gets some time, he's going to be able to showcase some of the best receivers in the ACC. You got Roberson, who averaged over 100 yards per game. Donovan Green was highly touted a couple years ago. Those two guys on the outside could be big weapons and in the ACC. The problem, though, is their defense leaves a lot to be desired, and that's been the case for about the last 5 years, especially when they lose the second-round pick, Carlos Basham, on the line, and then they lose a Jacquez Williams at linebacker. But there's a lot of returning experience. Ryan Smenda at linebacker, he had a huge bowl game, 16 tackles. If he can build off that, there are some nice pieces. The secondary is great. Nick Anderson, Josser Taylor. They just need to be consistent and avoid giving up those huge plays.
Yeah, I mean, I like Wake too. You know, as we talked about in the ACC episode, when we talked about the Florida State episode, it was how I was just kind of high on other teams in this conference, and Wake is another one that's like, hey, they got a lot coming back. They the super senior rule, or the year where everybody got an extra year of COVID, you know, I think that may have helped them more than any other team, because they're going to have like 8 or 9 super seniors. Normally, they kind of like to have a experienced group. Anyways, they usually generally redshirt everybody. This is even more so. So I think their offense is going to be good. Defense, it's never usually good for Wake, so not really that worried about it. But they play up-tempo style, get teams on their heels. I like this group. I think they're going to be better this year.
All right, next dark horse we have is NC State, who overachieved a bit last year to go 8-4, so I think they would need to improve quite a bit just to match that record. But they are my most intriguing dark horse in the ACC in 2021. They bring back Devin Leary at quarterback, who got injured, but he, you know, started out the season really well, had seemed to really take that jump in his second years playing there, and former 4-star recruit, so the potential is there. And he's got one of the best supporting casts in the conference. The offensive line, led by their star left tackle, Ikem Ekwonu, very, very good. The skill talent is great. Emeka Emezi leads a deep and experienced receiving core. Bam Knight at running back is a beast. I love watching
Bam
him
Knight
play. They got a good duo of backs there with Ricky Person. So the defense, you know, they lose second team All-American defensive tackle Lee McNeil, But still, I think overall they've got a chance to take a big step forward. They were young last year at every level. They've got two potential all-ACC linebackers in Peyton Wilson and Isaiah Moore. And they add some really experienced transfers. They got Corey Durden, nose tackle from Florida State. They got a safety from Florida State. They got Derek Pitts, a transfer from Marshall, who's formerly of West Virginia, who's had a pretty solid career as a corner. So I just think they have potential on both sides of the ball.
I agree with that. I mean, I really like NC State this year, but I kind of get the sense that they're going to be one of those teams where their record, it might be worse than the true strength of the team because of some of that schedule. I mean, they drew Clemson, North Carolina, and Miami on top of a trip to Mississippi State in the non-conference. But the good thing going for them is Dave Doran, his two best recruiting classes were in 2018 and 19, and those classes are now going to be fully contributing to the team. So there's not many excuses to at least try and match some of that success that they had a year ago. You touched on the defense. There are some really good pieces. The one question mark is they got to improve that run game. They got gashed a few times last year. Three teams ran for about 300 yards against them. So if they can shore that up, there's a lot to like about NC State.
I agree. All right, now let's move on to Louisville. So we've kind of been speaking rosy of the team so far. I'm not going to speak so rosily of Louisville here. I'm not feeling it quite so much for them. Four coaches left the program in the offseason. That's never a great sign. Some of their most explosive players on offense are gone, like Tutu Atwell, Des Fitzpatrick, Javion Hawkins. Yeah. So those are some major, major losses that really kind of carried them on offense the past couple years. They still have the quarterback, Malik Cunningham, but he regressed last year. He had 12 picks, lost a few fumbles. Defense has some major pieces to replace as well, especially in the secondary where they lose three starters. And they were, you know, last year they were actually pretty good against the pass. They're the statistically they're the best ACC pass defense as far as yards. So they lose their nose tackle. I just don't think their offense is going to be very good. I mean, I think it'll be okay, but it's going to be regressed even more so. And the defense isn't going to be that great. So just I you know, with all the other ACC teams that we're kind of high on, somebody's got to come down. I think Louisville is one of them.
Well, you say come down, maybe come down in terms of how good they actually are, but they'll probably
record might stay the same.
Yeah. Or get better because they were 4-7 last year. They were better than 4-7. Like they had some bad luck in close games. They had bad turnover luck. So they were actually 35th in SP plus. So,
yeah,
you know, they weren't as bad as they looked. But yeah, 117th in the country in turnover margin. I know some of Malik Cunningham's bad decisions contributed to that, but you would think that's bound to improve significantly. So I think they'll win maybe a couple more games.
I don't know. I'm not sure.
You're not sure? I mean,
they
I think
their best weapons. They're going to really have to play from behind. I think it could be a recipe for more turnovers.
Fair enough. Fair enough. But I still think I would take over four wins. I'll tell you that.
yeah. All right.
But I agree. I'm not like, I don't think the team is going to get that much better because of the skill talent they lost. So they did add some transfers on defense, particularly in the secondary. Kendrick Duncan, really good transfer from Georgia Southern. He was all Sun Belt there, I believe. So we'll see. I like Scott Satterfield, but I think he has his work cut out for him. Not Fatterfield, Scatterfield. Satterfield.
No. Yeah, it's his
lighter
brother.
Bring up another team.
Yeah, no. Well, I'm going to go over to the Hokies, Virginia Tech. They've been so tough to gauge the last few years. They've really underachieved and inconsistent, but I'm still optimistic and waiting for them to break out. And we all know it kind of goes without saying that Justin Fuente needs a good year or he'll probably be run out of town. But so the Hokies are actually going to be my dark horse pick. Last year they went 5-6, but they were snake bitten in some close games, actually finished in the top 30 in some metrics. They avoid Clemson and NC State this upcoming year. And I believe that drawing North Carolina in week one in Blacksburg helps them because the Heels will be breaking in all their new offensive weapons. There could be an upset there. But the biggest key for them is the quarterback, Braxton Burmeister. He kind of had a tale of two halves last year. He was dreadful before injury. But then when he came back, he played pretty dang well. With a full offseason being the guy, not in a battle with Hendon Hooker, who transferred away, I'm leaning to him playing better. They're going to need it because they also lose 1,000-yard rusher Khalil Herbert. But Blackshear's back. He's more than capable, along with Jalen Houston. And then you look at the defense. they weren't great, but a combination of COVID opt-outs and injuries in the first year after Bud Foster, I'm willing to forgive them. Think they can atone for that. The secondary seems to be a strength. I don't think the defense is going to be great, but I think it should be better than a year ago.
Yeah, I'm not quite as high on Trey on Virginia Tech. You know, the one good thing that Virginia Tech really did last year was of course, running. The ground game was really good. The offensive line played great. Hendon Hooker was a stud. And then, of course, Khalil Herbert. So Khalil Herbert had nearly 1,200 yards on 7.7 yards per carry. Like, he was awesome. Like, and he was by far their most effective running back. And then Hendon Hooker rushed for over 600 yards himself. So far and away, the top two players that carried the ball, gone. Burmeister, it's not like he's not a dual threat, but he's not quite as effective as Hendon Hooker running. So I think and they also lose their left tackle. Other couple transfers on their O-line also left. So I think they're going to regress on the offensive side. And the defense, I'm not encouraged. I think they might be similar. If they are a little bit better, I don't think it'll be much. So I'm just not feeling it. I mean, they could perk up. I'm not saying it's impossible, but I just don't think they're up there.
Okay, let's move on to our next dark horse, which is Pitt. And, you know, they've always been pretty good under Narduzzi, but just haven't been able to quite get over the hump. They've never finished the season with fewer than 5 losses. And the defense has been very good the last 2 years, and it's been the offense that is letting them down. I think the defense could take a small step back this upcoming season because they lose 3 starters in the secondary and 2 All-Americans on the defensive line. I mean, there's still talent there, especially on the front 7. They had tons of depth there. There's guys to replace them on that D line. So they'll be good defensively, but those are some big losses. So the offense might need to improve, and Kenny Pickett is back for his 18th year, of course. This is the joke. And I don't know, I need to kind of see a good Pitt offense before I believe it under Kenny Pickett, because the passing game just hasn't been efficient. And the running game was bad last year. So I don't know. I just, like I said, need to see it before I believe it.
Yeah. And that's the thing with Pickett. It's like, I feel like he's hit his ceiling. I know there's occasionally some buzz about him being an NFL prospect, and he very well could, but I just don't see how much better. Like, what more do we need to see in order for him to take the next step? And can he do that? And then with Narduzzi, I will give him credit. Like, there were a couple years there where he's known as a defensive guy, and I've mentioned this before on our podcast that their defense wasn't that good, but they've put together some aggressive, solid defenses the last couple years. The one thing though is that he hasn't provided is a top 25 finish or a double digit win total, and I'm not willing to bet that this is going to be the year that's going to happen. I think he does have a solid core on offense and an aggressive defense. But at this point, I'm just not willing to put all my chips in Pickett and Narduzzi this year.
Yeah, and one guy I wanted to bring up that I forgot to bring up was Jordan Addison, the true freshman receiver, had a great year. So Pickett's got most of his weapons back. Maybe that'll help, but we will see. Any other dark horses that you want to bring up? I mean, Florida State is obviously one. We did a whole episode on them, so you can refer back to that. But any other possible teams?
They got to put it together one of these years. I'll throw out the Cavaliers, Virginia. You know, 14 returning starters, solid dual threat quarterback and Brennan Armstrong. They're 5-5 last year, so it's not like they were far off. And they made the conference title game in 2019. You know, like the year before the COVID year, they made it. So Bronco Mendenhall does a nice job. There's no reason why they couldn't be a surprise.
Yeah, I agree with that. Georgia Tech, if Jeff Sims at quarterback takes a big
lead. A longer dark horse.
Yeah, but that's darker horse. Yeah, for sure.
Getting pretty dark.
Syracuse? Now, that's like pitch black. You can't even see that dark horse.
No, they don't even know which direction they're going.
All right. Well, I guess that'll do it then for this episode of the College Football Bros. Subscribe, and of course, as always, hit the bell for notifications if you haven't already. We'll be back tomorrow talking about the hottest seats in the ACC. So we'll see you then.
You've been listening to the College Football Bros. If you have any questions for the next podcast, email them to collegefootballbros@gmail.com. To keep up with the brothers on social media, like them on Facebook at College Football Bros, follow them on Instagram at College Football Bros, and for their commentary on Saturdays, follow them on Twitter at CFB Bros. Thanks for listening.